I'm recording audio. Oh, thank you. Make sure that's recording.
Is that right? I don't know how yours works.
Does it have numbers at the top?
No.
Now does it?
No.
Dang it.
Yes, it's rolling.
Okay, cool. I was like, I have no idea. I thought I pushed it, but I didn't know I was going to ask you to push it, and that's where communication is good.
We're rolling.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to... That's our intro for everyone, is us figuring out if we're recording or not.
Dude, I like it. Like, I hate to be too comparative to other podcasts. Like Matt and Shane's secret podcast. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. Like, this is it. They're just sitting on the couch with microphones in their hands, shooting the shit.
And like a fucking decent camera in the corner, no extra angles sometimes, and then sometimes two cameras. Like,
now, I did watch one. What's Danny, the East Down and Bound guy? You know what I'm talking about?
Danny McBride.
They had him on there, and they were sitting at a giant round table.
Okay. So the thing I think a lot of people fall in love with the person, the people, the conversations, whatever, and can look past anything if the conversations are good.
Right.
And then if you make money off your podcast, let's say this turns out to we start making $2,000 a month. Then we go, hey, Terry, what kind of equipment would make this better? And then if it makes $5,000 a month because we got a few new people that were not going to tune in because it looked a little unprofessional. Then we go, okay, what kind of microphones, what kind of recorders? How can we get three cameras, different angles? What do we need to do? Backdrop. That's when you just start building it that way. And I think of it like any business. Like, you start out shitty.
Yeah.
Like, you've never gone to a restaurant on their first day of being open that had never done restaurants before. Like, the owner's just like, I'm a good cook, so I'm going to start this. And been blown away by everything.
Right.
Because they have $13,000 to their name, and they dump it all in their business. If they have investors and shit, that's a totally different story. But, like, if it's just a guy, like, I'll reference John and Cook's, the barbecue place.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like anything.
Right.
It's the best.
It's been the same hole-in-the-wall spot.
It should be on those, like, diners, drives, and dive-ins type shows. It's fucking, it's cool. They're really nice. I mean, I send my clients there all the time, and when I tell them I'm a vegetarian, they're like, well, what do you eat there? I'm like, I go with my wife, and I get sides, but... I can tell by the way she's eating. That shit's still just as good as it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And there's those places like that. Like, they start out like that, and it's just the quality, and they never do the upgrades. They go, who gives a shit? This is working. We're busy. Why would we spend money on it? So that's Matt and Shane.
Yeah.
And then you have your, like, Joe Rogan's. They start out with a fucking webcam smoking out of a volcano with a fleshlight as a sponsor.
Right.
And now...
I wish we had a fleshlight sponsor.
I really want Tushy to sponsor this. Tushy the Bidet Company?
Yeah.
My Tushy? No. HelloTushy.com. Don't go to Tushy.com because Tushy.com is a porn website. But HelloTushy.com, do go to Tushy.com too. I'll take two sponsors. I don't give a fuck. Keep them confused. Be like, use promo code Matt and Andrew for everything. And people are like, damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is fine.
Right.
I do think, and as Terry and I were talking about earlier, I overanalyze a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry's right when he says people will look past little flaws or not even notice little flaws. And my favorite fucking person to reference for every bit of knowledge ever, Rick Rubin, the producer.
Mm-hmm.
I shared a thing he posted on Instagram the other day. It's the coolest shit ever. He posts just quotes every day. Then he deletes them the next day and posts another one. He only has one post at a time. It's very interesting.
I don't know who this is.
Rick Rubin, founder of Def Jam Records. Big white dude. I'll tell you more later.
Okay.
The point is, he posted a thing that said that little flaw in whatever you're making that you can't get past, you're the only one that knows about it. And I was like, fuck. Like, I was probably high when I read it.
Whole world, like, just changed.
That was like, I mean, really though, like, I can't help it. But I want to represent everything. I want everything to be something I would consume. And I want everything to be perfect. And I want all my jokes to be sharp. You can't fucking write a perfect joke 3 days a week, walk out there and have three perfect jokes every week.
Right.
You're going to have to test shit out. This is us testing shit out. We got TikTok. Hi, TikTok. I'm videoing on a fucking iPhone with lav mics. And we got him with a high-quality camera. We're still trying to figure out how to get the lighting right in here. We don't have a backdrop. Some people might love this. Some people might hate this. There might be a guy down the road that's like, look at Andrew, he's fucking gay because he's talking to a guy and they have emotions. And that guy will comment that and get us fans.
So, good point.
It doesn't matter.
Now, we got to back up because sometimes you take off and there's stuff that I want to comment on something you say, but then you keep going. And by the time you take a breath, I'm like, I don't remember what I was going to comment on.
I don't breathe a lot.
Yeah. I don't see how you do it. That's probably what makes you so popular with your wife. but you can breathe through your ears. So I
feel like I do sometimes.
But like you were saying, you overanalyze stuff. You want everything to be perfect. You want, because that's just the way you want things. But then look at the stuff that you consume, whether it be the podcast that you watch or anything else. They're not perfect, and you overlook all those imperfections.
Because I like it.
Right.
Right. And MXPX, it's a shitty punk rock band or pop punk band, whatever. They acknowledge right out the gate, we know we're not good at music, but listen to this, it's fun. The Clash, not great musicians. Fantastic fucking music. Some of the best music ever made was made by the, in my opinion, some of the best music that has ever been made was The Clash. They're not good musicians. Beastie Boys, not good musicians. Like, there's, I mean, I'm not saying, like, yeah, they make good music. They're not technically very qualified to do this job.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, okay, so if you're funny, you're a good comedian. If you're funny on stage, you're a good comedian. Even if other comedians look at you and go, well, he doesn't have good joke structure and his setups are really long. If everybody laughs every time they're supposed to and they come back to shows, you're fucking good at it.
Yeah.
You're just doing it different.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the same thing. I mean, I feel like tattoos are a little different, but there is a definitive that sucks.
Yeah. But I also think, like, because we were talking about this the other day, and now I can't think of the comic's name that you were talking about, the way that he does things, where he basically just does one setup and then a thousand.
Oh, John Carden.
Okay, John Carden.
Yeah, it's considered a role is like the term I've heard used.
Right. For. But it's crazy to me how critical sometimes, not big name comics. Mm. Like, once comics are big, they accept all comedy.
Yeah.
But low-level comics are so critical of other people's comedy, and they're like, well, he's not doing that right.
Yeah.
Bitch, he did more shows last month than you did.
Right. And
so he
is,
must be doing something right type
didn't.
Of thing.
Let's say he did two shows last month, but that's how many shows he wants to do.
Right.
Like, that's a big – and nobody says it directly to me as a criticism, but the biggest thing I hear about my comedy, how I do comedy, whatever, is that I'm not working hard enough on doing comedy. I'm like, I'm doing between one and three sets a week. I have a full-time job. I'm running a comedy show. One of the sets I do a lot of the times, I have to drive 3 hours total to do 4 minutes. I'm doing sets here. I'm doing sets in Oklahoma City. When I go places like Austin, usually I get on stage. Like, I'm working as hard as I want to be.
Right.
And we've talked about this a little before. I'm not going to sacrifice time with my kids to a point that it's like, I don't know them. Because I'm fucking better at comedy. I would rather suck as a comedian and just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my kids are your daughter's age, have the relationship you have with your daughter, than be that guy that goes, well, I think my daughter likes volleyball.
Right.
Like, that would be so, like, what's the point of being great at something if you sacrifice the only shit that matters to be great at the thing that doesn't actually matter? Like, right. Not saying comedy doesn't matter. Greatness doesn't matter. Like, you achieve it or you don't, but, like, Dave Chappelle is a great example of greatness and not following any fucking rules at all. He does whatever he wants. He'll come on stage for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Or fucking 10. I've heard more of his sets are 4 hours than 30 minutes.
Yeah. And, oh man. I've heard some pretty rough stuff about those guys back in the day, especially, like, they would go in someplace on a mic night, and of course they get bumped to the top of the list because they're the big-name guy, and then they'll just get up there and on stage for 3 hours. Now everybody else that was there, you know, still trying to work on getting better, they got pushed back. They're not even getting on stage until 3 a.m., and there's only two people left
in
the
building. Yeah, that's a big thing. And I love the show Crashing. I think we've talked about it. Have you ever watched it?
I don't think so.
It's really good. It's Pete Holmes. There's everybody you could imagine is on it. I mean, just name a comedian, they're on it. It's amazing. But it references every up and down of a comic's life throughout the, I'm starting doing open mics. It starts like Pete Holmes is like a low level open micer that's barking.
I did start watching it.
Okay. Well, it goes through the phases of comedy, and it goes like, you see all the guy that's a fucking asshole that thinks that he deserves something you don't, thinks you're doing it wrong. The guy that bumps everybody, whatever. It portrays John Mulaney, and these guys agree to this. It's not like they're trying to make John Mulaney look like a dick. But it's John Mulaney at a place where people are like popping in or whatever, bumps somebody. And he's like, hey, man, my friend, you know, she just really sharpened out this set and I was trying to film it for her earlier and I accidentally didn't press record and she's really mad. Is there any way you could not bump her tonight? And he's like, why would I do that? And that's every every story I hear about those guys bumping people, and it made me go, I know this is a show and John Mulaney's not being John Mulaney here, even though he is playing himself. Like, he might not have done that ever. But that made me immediately fucking hate him and go, oh, you're already where this guy's trying to get, and you want to stop that guy from getting here, even though there's room for everybody.
Right.
Just because you're selfish.
Yeah.
If it wasn't bumping, if they said, hey, can she bump you? I totally get saying no. If you say, can you not bump her one time? That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I have heard a lot of the guys at the top did that. And like, if that's the top, I don't want to be at the top. I want to make a living.
And it's, I guess to me, that's the same thing as, you know, we've heard stories about somebody getting an opportunity to go and open for someone and then them never getting that opportunity again because the person that they had come open for them actually did a better set. So then they're like, yeah, we're not giving that kid that shot again because they might take light away from me.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of the same thing. You're just trying to keep somebody else from getting to where they're trying to be. Yeah,
that's one thing. And I know I can't know what's in your head when you're a big headliner and you're hiring people to open for you. But the other day, Wayne and I were talking out front during the show, and he said, I'm not going to say the comic's name because I don't know if it was a misunderstanding, but a big comic. He said, oh, he takes people that always bomb on the road with him. He thinks it's funny to watch them bomb. It entertains them, and then he goes up and kills. And I was like, he sounds kind of like a self-conscious douchebag that can't fucking compete. And it's not competition. Two people, this sounds cocky. I've never not been able to follow somebody because I've never got it in my head that them being better than me means I'm not going to entertain these people.
Right.
I consider it, you're better than me. Mm-hmm. We'll just definitively say you are better at comedy than me for sure. I would love to follow you because they're warmed up. They're in a good mood. They want to laugh.
Right,
they've laughed already.
Right. Yeah.
I know they can laugh. Also, I know if I go up and I eat shit, it's my fault because you got them to laugh.
Yeah.
Therefore, I have to figure out how to work this room. Not remap everything I've done in comedy, but I have to go, I read the room wrong because Matt murdered and I ate shit and he murdered before I ate shit. So he got them set up for me. It's like if, let's say you're having a three-way and somebody's, it's a good analogy.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody's eating the lady's coochie for you for like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You should be able to down dick pretty good. You just put that dick in there. She's going to be happy because you got that 8 minutes of warm up. Her vagina is ready to go.
Right. So if you then can't complete the mission,
that's your fault.
On you.
That's a you issue. Now, if you say, I don't want to put my face where that guy's face just was, I get that. But if you can't do what he was warming them up, like the opener is getting them ready. And if you're, let's say we're doing, it's not opening and whatever. There's no headliner. There's three people doing 15 each.
Mm-hmm.
If you do 15, John Wallen does 15, and I do 15, and you guys both do good, and I eat shit, it's my fault. I can't blame you for, oh, they fucking got all the laughs the people had already. There's no, like, what is it? What is it that people think a good opener is a bad thing? Like, how, I'm not as good as you yet. Why is that bad? Even if I'm headlining, why is that bad?
Right. But and that's why I like guys like Bert, because he says, I love taking...
Yeah.
Like absolute killers with me and having them open because now I have to work harder.
That's,
it makes me work harder and do better.
I think the comics that I remember are the ones that brought an opener that I liked better than I liked them, and I was a fan of them, didn't know their opener. I can't say that about Tim Dillon, but I will say I didn't know who Sam Talent was. I'd heard his name. I knew he was funny. I knew he was a decent comic. I didn't know anything about him. Never seen his material. Sam Talent opened for Tim Dillon in Austin.
Yeah.
And that day, I became a Sam Talent fan. I didn't stop liking Tim Dillon.
Right.
I didn't leave and go, man, Tim Dillon was not nearly as good as the guy that opened. They both did fucking great. I couldn't say which was better.
Right.
They both got laughs every time they wanted to. They both fucking had silences that they held in a way that was really interesting. Like, holding tension is a really big thing in a big room.
You bet.
I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
They both did it with such a level of perfection that I was more impressed. I think of Tim Dillon now as a guy that's good at hiring an opener. Not just a good comedian.
Right.
Oh, he's good at everything.
Yeah.
He's a good podcaster. He's good at hiring an opener, and he's good at fucking murdering for 49 minutes or something.
Right.
And I saw him at Bricktown, and his opener, I wish I could remember this guy's name. I think it's Jared something. I don't know if it matters yet, but I'd hate for like 100 people to see this and be like, I wish I knew who Jared was. But he's a kid from New York. He has a speech impediment and wears a retainer, and he references it as an opener. He's like, I know I could take this out for like an hour, but I already have a speech impediment, so now I can blame this. But he's so fucking good.
Right.
And I watched him and I was like, again, Tim Dillon hired somebody good. I will say that day I liked him better than Tim Dillon. But that was that performance. That wasn't
right.
What I'm trying to get at is I lost nothing for Tim Dillon.
Right. Yeah. You might have liked his performance better, but it didn't make you stop liking Tim Dillon.
Right. I'll go see Tim Dillon again in like 3 years. I'm not going to see him every 6 months. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But I'll go see him again in a couple of years, and I'll be excited about who's opening and know I'm going to discover something.
Right.
So, I mean, I know we all have egos, but what is that thing? What do you think that thing is that goes, that guy can't be better than me because people paid to see me? Like, what's the problem?
I don't know. I because it doesn't make any sense to me, because I want to have the same mentality as those guys that are like, I want everybody that goes before me to be absolute murderers too.
Right.
Two reasons. The crowd is already warm, and it makes me work harder.
And the over show's better.
Right.
Like, if you look at the show as a product, right, we sold tickets. These people showed up to this show because they paid to see you.
Right.
And if they're disappointed in everything but you, they might come see you again, but they're not going to be like, they might show up late next time. They might be like, ah, well, the opener does 20 minutes, and then he has another opener do like five or whatever, and then the host. So let's just go an hour late and see if he's on stage yet.
Right. Now, I know that there are, this is something that Terry and I, we've had to have this conversation quite a bit of who you do you need to be picky about who you open for you if their style of comedy is completely out of the realm, right? So, like, if you've got somebody that their goal when they go up is they like the idea of walking people.
Which that doesn't make any sense, because you want people to be entertained.
Right.
Like, that's but you doing comedy for you.
Here's the way that their mind works. The people that they walk were part of their show. The people that stayed and enjoyed the idea of them walking someone
were spectators that enjoyed walking.
Right.
Okay. I've never heard that or thought that, but that's to me, that sounds like a level of mental illness that I haven't quite experienced myself.
Yeah. So
that sounds insane.
So then you gotta be careful, because I like sometimes like super offensive comedy is not my thing.
Right.
But I understand that it is other people's, you know.
Right.
So like
Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, for sure. Anthony Jeselnik, and I, like, don't get me wrong, if like he called and said, hey, would you like to come open for me? I'm taking that gig. But I don't think that we match up.
Right.
I would be way too, but now at his level, the people that are there, they're there for that.
Right.
So I think I would be too tame.
Right. But his, you're still audience. Funny, and I haven't found an audience that doesn't like you yet. That being said, where I think the style matching thing does come into play is I think it's really fun hosting for you, and I enjoy working with you, but the show we did here, I know what jokes not to do now. I know that some of your crowd, the people that like you, as much, they probably think that you voted for Trump with 6 fake IDs.
Yeah.
They probably don't know, and I hope I don't ruin you for anybody. They probably don't know that you're a pretty well-rounded person,
yeah,
and you just
yeah,
happen
yeah,
to wear
yeah.
Hey Dudes and jeans.
See, and that's, Wayne has made that comment several times. He goes, of course, and I don't know how much truth there is this. Wayne thinks that everything's about algorithms. And
yeah.
In Wayne's mind, he goes, everybody thinks that you're super conservative because you talk the way you talk, mm-hmm. and you're this country
true.
Guy. He goes, so that's why you get ghost blocked on all these different things, because the internet doesn't want to push super conservative people. And I'm like, I don't have any idea. And I don't do anything political.
No.
I don't do anything religious.
No.
I stay away from those. First of all, I'm not smart enough to talk politics with people. And second of all, I don't care enough about it.
If
people who do political comedy are geniuses to me, and I enjoy listening to them if they're good at it.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais, Louis Black. Like, you know, I mean, there's guys like that.
Yeah.
They're fascinating to me because they're so intelligent also.
Also, they're studying one topic a lot.
It's right.
Really bad for your brain to study that much.
Right, right.
Like, if they can handle it, clearly, I can't. I can't get into politics. But where I think that might be incorrect is based on your material and what people think. YouTube has no fucking idea what your political leaning is. And Tim Dillon's huge.
Yeah.
Tim Dillon sounds Republican as fuck. Joe Rogan's huge. Joe Rogan sounds Republican as fuck. Shane Gillis sounds Republican as fuck. All these guys Nate Bergazzi, I would assume, has the same general demographic you do because he seems country-ish, Republican-ish, definitely Christian-adjacent at least. And his following's fucking ginormous, and it's universal. Like,
right.
Like, I'm bringing my kid to see him. I'm bringing my 9-year-old son to see Nate Bergazzi. I'm so excited about it because I can, because he's clean.
Right.
That makes me want
your
to
9-year-old son has been around us, though. Like, you could take your 9-year-old son to anything.
No.
You could take your 9-year-old son to Anthony Jeselnik.
The other day, he asked what sex was, and I described... I didn't want to talk about it, but I was like, I'm not going to hide anything or lie to my kids. Like, that's just a...
Yeah.
If they asked, had you ever done coke, and I did coke once, I would probably be like, let's talk about it when you're 16, but I haven't done coke, thank God. But...
Yet.
Yeah, I'll wait till I'm in Costa Rica and I'm 38. I agree. If they're old enough to ask, they're old enough for an answer. That's a fucking great way to describe it. He asked what sex was because I was listening to a Blink-182 song where they played like the live version. And they're like, what's the best part of love? And one of them goes, sex. And the other one said, I think oral sex. He goes, what's sex? And I was like, oh.
Remember when you saw those two dogs stuck together?
No, that was, I was like, you know how dogs
that
hump?
That was sex.
I was like, you know how dogs hump? And like grandma always talks about, my mom's obsessed with animals mating. Because it's a clean way to talk about fucking. But like when a bee lands on another bee or whatever, I was like, you know, like animals mate, like they stick, you know, and we don't have to get too graphic. He goes, oh, people do that? I was like, yeah, a lot. And he's like, I'm
every
good.
Every time they get a chance.
I was like, he goes, I think I've heard enough. We're good for now. And I was like, that's perfect. He doesn't want to know more yet. He will later. I'm sure he'll have a lot of questions. I think easing into everything's good. And I know it's really funny the other day, like, we were talking about crack in front of my son, and I don't know if it was Terry or you that was like, he'll be fine here, you're talking about crack. My son listens to rap.
Yeah.
He asked, what's codeine, what's cocaine, what's lean, what's, you know, he goes, is herb the same thing as weed, is grass the same thing as weed, whatever. And I go, yeah. And my kids know what drugs are, the full spectrum. I realized yesterday vitamin D is a drug. I never thought about it. I call caffeine a drug because it's a drug. Vitamin D is one of the strongest drugs I've taken so far. It is, if you don't feel good.
Is this a guy's nickname?
Yes, Vitamin D. It's my favorite hip-hop artist / porn star's name. No, it's, if you take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D, which is like 3 times the average recommended dose, depending on who you ask, double for some, it changes your state of mind 100%. Like when your body fully processes it and you've built some up, you go from calm, kind of depressed, cranky, whatever. I would compare it to, it's stronger than weed. It won't make you see different shit like acid will, but it does more to me than weed does to me. Now, that's my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's not everybody's experience, but caffeine is for sure a drug. Anything that changes your state of being, your state of mind, your state of consciousness, however you want to word it, is a drug. So when my kids go, well, that guy does drugs, I'm like, yeah, but so do you and me and whatever. It's just different levels. We're drinking caffeine right now. You're drinking a Dr. Pepper. I'm having a coffee. It's a really light drug. It's not fucking you up. It's not bad. But if you drank 50 of those, be bad. Weed is a drug. 10 milligrams, great for me. 500 milligrams, dad's in the hospital. It's not dangerous, but I'm just going to be a danger to myself. If it's going to be a problem. So I was just talking about drugs, how I see it. And
right.
My theory is if you know, like one of my friends, not a good friend, it's not like, I hate it when people like milk it, but a guy I've known since I was a kid overdosed on fentanyl a couple months ago. My kids heard us talking about it, and they're like, what's fentanyl? I was like, oh, if you buy drugs like that aren't from a dispensary, and even if they are from a dispensary, there's a chance, but if you buy drugs that aren't from a licensed, regulated place, somebody could have put anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fentanyl is one of the things they can put in it. You can literally take one pill and never wake up again. And they were like, oh, why would somebody do that? I'm like, oh, because they didn't know that was going to happen when they started taking that drug.
Right.
And they understand what addiction is. They understand parts of why some people we know are having some health problems.
Right.
They are the most well-rounded kids ever. Now, I am putting a lot of – there is a risk to this method, but this is what I believe is a correct way to raise a kid. I think them knowing shit – is the best way to keep them from doing shit.
I 100% agree with it because that's how I was raised.
And you're fine.
My dad, Well, that's debatable. My dad was like, I mean, he was an old hippie. He did every kind of drug there was.
Right.
You know, all of them. You know, he's done all of them. And when I was a kid growing up, he was 100% honest with me about all of them, which was why I never had any
desire.
You
never had a drug problem.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, nah. Like, and then, so then as I got older, I tried things.
Yeah.
You know, I tried Coke, and I was like, 100% I can see why this would, this could become a problem for somebody. So like,
I get it.
Yeah, like, this is a lot of fun. I'm not going to do it anymore because I could see this could be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've never tried, like, meth or crack or anything like that. I've never done heroin. I've tried smoking weed several times to see if I was good at it. And I'm just not. I'm just not good at it. I'm not good at weed.
I'm very good
at it. So it's just not for me. I've recently, you know, started taking shrooms, but just very occasionally and only in a controlled environment.
Right.
Because it is fun.
Right.
And it's just kind of a, you know, get away from everything. Well, but it's also, that's a natural thing. It's not, you know, I don't feel, I feel like you could overdo it on that too.
For sure.
But, you know, I tried ecstasy because I thought it was going to help me fuck all night. And instead, it just made me want to hold hands with people.
Which is,
so
it's good that you know now sometimes you can just enjoy holding hands.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, yeah, it did not do what I thought it was going to do. I'm not interested in doing that
anymore. Okay, so on the spectrum of drugs, how many drugs would you say are actually enjoyable versus an avoidance slash peer pressure thing?
That I've done?
Or that you know of. I would say alcohol, I don't think most people enjoy. I think they think they need it. I think comedy shows are better when people aren't drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I think people think at a comedy show you have to be drinking because people are drinking.
Right.
I don't know. I've never been drunk.
I definitely, drinking is a social activity for most for most people. And then if you stay in those social environments too much, then it becomes
problem.
A problem.
Yeah.
I think that weed probably starts off like that with a lot of people. Like, hey, this is just like we just got together and, you know, smoked weed or whatever. I think a lot of things are like that. I think that most drugs start out as a social idea.
That's probably true, and that's a big thing for me. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a rebel at all. I would consider myself a peer pressure rebel. I go, oh, everybody's doing this? I guess I'm like a hipster in that way. Like they're like, oh, I don't want to listen to that. That's too mainstream. I was like, well, give it a chance. It's fucking good music. That's why everybody likes it.
Right.
I'm that way about social pressure. I go, I don't want to make any decisions because my friends are doing it, ever. So I started smoking weed at 27. I've never drank alcohol, with the exception of NyQuil. Everybody's always like, you've never drank? I'm like, I will give you exactly, like, technically I know there's alcohol in that. Probably accidentally swallowed my mouthwash this much. I've never drank an alcoholic beverage, intentionally swallowed alcohol to become intoxicated or just to see what it tastes like and swallow it.
Right.
Nobody believes me because I'm one of four that exist in the fucking world. But I don't think that's fucking weird. I don't get why I have to explain it. But I have to explain it. I don't bring it up a lot. I mean, I have with you. But, like, with new people, I never tell them I don't drink. I just go, oh, no, I'm good. And I've almost considered starting to just lie and tell people I had a drinking problem. Be like, oh, I'm in recovery. Just to not have the fucking conversation because it's dumb. Cocaine sounds fun. Cocaine, if it was legal and regulated, I think a lot of people could do it without a problem, and a lot of people would fucking lose their life to it. I think it would be 50-50.
Sure.
I think some people would be like, every Friday, I do two little bumps, and I fucking go mow the grass at night or something weird.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I think the other part of the – I don't know if it's
– I mow the grass fast.
Yeah. Dude, I thought it was a riding lawnmower. It was not. Like, motherfuckers just scooting on top of it. But – I think I've never seen a positive out of meth. I've never seen a positive out of heroin. I've never seen a positive out of any pills.
Right.
I get why people like Adderall. I don't think you should, but I get why people like it. But most drugs, I think people go, well, this is a thing I'm doing with my friends. And then 3 years later, they go, oh, fuck, I can't quit. Where if your kids know addiction is a potential, death is a potential, and then they know what addiction is most likely not going to happen with. I'd never say weed cannot become addictive because soda's addictive. It's not chemically addictive, but it tastes good.
Right.
Weed's fun.
Yeah.
So there is a potential of reliance or dependence or whatever you want to say on everything. But I just think when it comes to talking to my kids, I'm just like, the reason I only smoke weed and I don't fucking go do a bunch of crazy shit is not just like the whole idea, oh, it just grows from the ground, so it's fine. I mean, rattlesnake venom also is pretty natural.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of shit that can kill you that grows from the ground or naturally occurs. But the idea that I've never heard of anybody dying from weed is, that matters to me.
Right.
And if I didn't have kids, I probably would have done coke by now. I'd probably be like, oh, it sounds fun. Worst case scenario, I ruined my entire life. Best case scenario, I got a new hobby. Like, I think it's, I just think it's not worth the risk if you have anything
this
worth
is
living
my,
for.
This is my only, this is, because I understand the idea of, you know, people really defending weed. I was awful. Like I said, weed's never been my thing. I've tried it a bunch of times just to make sure I wasn't doing it wrong. Just not my thing. But I was all for it being legalized.
Right.
What bothers me is how it became legal and it just became life.
Yeah.
To some people. Like, there's some people, like, there's no other conversation they want to have.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have a conversation about, hey, how was your day today without them talking about weed. And
I'm like, I had this really good strain of, it was a sativa at Wake and Bake, and then I had it with coffee. Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like, I'm all for you smoking weed, but, like, you're not going to convert me.
Right.
So, like, why, like.
Well, that's how I feel about alcohol. Everybody's always tried to get me to drink, and I don't understand, like, if I just, yeah, I don't know what it's like to be drunk, so I could be missing out. But if I've decided at the age of fucking 32, I still haven't been interested. I'm interested in alcohol the same way I'm interested in men. I make jokes about it. I'm not gay.
Yeah.
Like, I still catch myself driving down the road and going, oh shit, I'm a pervert. It's never been a dude. I've never done that with alcohol. Like, I've never looked at a beer and be like.
With the whole not drinking thing. Like, when you first told me about it, I was like, damn, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy because you don't meet people that have, like, I've never done that before.
And it's not religious. It's just, I just don't know what it is.
I never was interested in it, and now at this point, I'm like, why now?
And I see problems.
That makes sense to me. And I would imagine, because I dried out for 3 years. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't drink for 3 years. It was crazy how people couldn't believe it.
3 years?
For 3 years, yeah. They were like, hey, do you want a drink? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not drinking.
Right.
And like, what?
Right.
Like, this is, what? I don't.
Like, that's like if you said, I'm not eating food for 3 years. They're like, how are you going to be alive?
Right. So, to me, your situation, and I would get how people, because I was.
You're having a good time.
I had a good time all the time. So, I was drunk a lot. So, it made sense to me that people were like, what? Like, you're not drinking? That makes sense that people are confused by that. But if they come to you and they're like, hey, do you want to drink? And you're like, no, I just don't drink. I've never drank. They're like, oh, that makes sense.
Right. I agree with that. But you're one of three people that's ever thought that that's not the worst. People literally think I'm ruining my life by not doing what ruined some of my family members' lives. By not doing what ruined a lot of people that live in Oklahoma. A lot of people have... I mean, I would say pills and alcohol are neck and neck. The difference is I don't know many people that died at 25 from alcohol.
Right.
I've known people that die at 60 from alcohol. Just long term, it can kill you. But it takes a lot to kill you with alcohol. It doesn't take a lot to kill you if you take a pill that you bought off a fucking dude named Ricky.
Right.
Because that shit might not be what you bought.
Right.
But
I go, so fucking with my kids, all my kids, I was like, please don't smoke.
Right. Cigarettes.
Like, yeah. My dad carries an oxygen tank around with him.
That
sucks. If you think you want to smoke cigarettes, go carry that oxygen around for him for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll open you. Please don't smoke. Please don't drink and drive.
That's great.
Please don't get tattoos above your shoulders.
That's fair.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know that our world has changed now.
No.
Like, you can have a face tattoo and still go get a good job now.
Yeah.
Used to, it was not like it. If you had tattoos on your hands or on your face or on your neck.
No, I'm a tattoo.
Like, you weren't getting a fucking job.
I know. I just got to the point where I will tattoo your hands without you having two sleeves and me tattooing you 3 or 4 times and me understanding you as a person.
Yeah.
I used to just, I'd be like, all right, well, what's your current job? If it was anything short of I own a business or I'm upper management at this place that pays $360 a year.
Yeah.
I'd be like, man, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, but like in 6 or 7 years, you might want to change a pace on that job. And I can't do it because I couldn't live with myself if I know you're stuck in a job because you can't get the job you want because of this tattoo I did on you.
Right.
I don't have to say that anymore because there's dudes at Chick-fil-A, which is like a really strict place with neck tattoos.
Yeah.
But that's new.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, if you're saying that because you want your kids to have a good chance at a career and you just want them to have all the advantages they can have, that's fair. If you're saying that because you think tattoos are gross, that's not fair, but still fine for you to ask because you're asking so little.
Right.
Your kids respect you. They'll probably honor your wishes because they respect you. You
might. My daughter smokes and she's got
she smokes cigarettes?
Not very often. She vapes nonstop.
Oh, okay.
Like she got one of those things nonstop.
Damn. All right. So I was wrong.
And she's got
my kids are going to be fucked up.
And she's got a tattoo behind her ear, which
that barely counts.
Which she wants you to cover up, by the way.
Okay. That barely counts. And I was joking about my kids being fucked up. I think your kids are fine. My kids will be fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 No.
But that's still not bad. It's
no.
also.
She will not drink and drive, though. That's and great. That's
the important one.
That's the most important of the three that I asked.
That's the one that could lead to other people or her right. death. Like yeah. the rest of it, you're not going to die because you have a shitty job. You're just going to not have a nice car.
Right.
Like, you'll be all right. You want to conclude this one at 35?
Yeah, you bet.
All right.
You bet. Hey, Matt, so that's it for Matt and Andrew. Make a podcast.
That's Matt and Andrew. Bye-bye.
All right.